Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word, and tonight I got a special treat for you. I got my main man, Brian Williams, the creator, owner of Raven Hammer Comics. So, y'all know me. If you want to get your nerd up, it's the place. Holla at me, 646-929-2037. Once again, call-in number, 646-929-2037. Brian Williams is going to be in the house a little bit later on today. But before then, I want you to come check out my website, smoothdrama.com. I want you to social network with me. Facebook, MeetMe, Twitter, Smooth Drama Radio. Add me. I'll add you back. We can talk a taste on it. You know, I'm down to talk about any and everything. You feel like you want to call in something I'm saying got you goat, or you want to bring something up, just gave you the number, 646-929-2037. Give me a shout. If you're a little shy, email me, smoothdrama1@yahoo.com. You shoot me a question or a comment or concern, I got you. If you're feeling froggish, jump in the chat room. Holla at your boy. I mean, every which way you want to do it, I'm ready to make it happen. Are you ready? If you're not, show must go on anyway. And speaking of the show must go on, oh man, not only am I tired of these replacement refs messing up football, I'm also tired of sex tapes. I don't know about y'all, but sex tapes, everybody's doing the sex tape now so they can get a show. I mean, you almost got me to a point where I feel like, you know what, if everybody's doing the sex tape, maybe I should do a video of me scratching my balls. Put that on YouTube, get 2 million hits so I can get a show on TV. And is that where we at? I get a reality show scratching my balls. Call it Ball Scratching 3D. Anyway, Kanye West has a sex tape. And I'm like, and supposedly he's outraged by it being out there, which, I mean, he is dating Kim Kardashian, so she probably told, if you want a show, all you got to do is fuck somebody and leak it on the internet, and you can get a show like me. See, I'm a star. And there you go. Marketing 101. Fuck somebody. Put it on the internet. Bam. You are a star. Or write about whose dick you suck. Bam, you a star. Because that's what talent's all about. So, I mean, I don't know. Can Kanye sell any more records? I guess they say all publicity is good publicity, but I'm kind of tired of sex tapes, and I guess if sex tapes is what's going to get him on TV, more power to him, but y'all forcing my hand. I'm telling you. Look out for I'm Scratching My Big Blue Balls, the video, coming to a YouTube near you. Because I guess that's what you call normal nowadays, because I'm not understanding it. I'm not going to try to understand it. But if anybody else can understand it, holler at me. Tell me why. I mean, I go to my favorite state of Florida as a police officer who has a picture that he's got, I guess, a dildo sticking out of his pants, and it's in his dog's mouth. And he's like, hey, I don't know why people tripping over this picture. It's being, you know, blown out of proportion. Because as we know down in Florida, that's what it is. In Florida, they put sex toys in their dogs' mouths all the time. That's that normal stuff. Now, I know people are like, what's important about this? Why are we even talking about this? What sense it makes? And my point is, exactly, what sense does it make? See, because this is a police officer who put that out there. He put that picture out there like, hey, it's funny and normal. Now, far be it from me to be acting like I'm PETA or something like that, as far from it. But at the same time, I see a man who can do that and put the picture up and say, yeah, well, that's normal. You know, because they said he has some racist pictures that he put up also. Now, the racism is normal. I think we can say cops and racist stuff, that's kind of normal, unfortunately. But cops and sex toys and dogs, I mean, he put that up there like, yeah, that's what it is too. That's what's normal down in Florida. I mean, I take it a step further. There's the case of Carlos Romero, who's mad at the state of Florida and jumped out at their sex laws, because he was like, hey, check this out. If I want to have sex with an animal, it should be my God-given right. And I thought about it. I mean, because, and so you know who Carlos Romero is. Carlos Romero is a man who, he was doing it with his pet donkey. And he got a misdemeanor. And he's like, the state is backwards towards zoophilia. In his mind, he shouldn't go to jail or be charged with a crime because he doesn't want to have sex with humans. I really can't argue with him, because when you look at it from his perspective, he's saying, hey, I don't want humans, and you're trying to force me to be with a human when I'd rather be with an animal. And I'm thinking any poor woman or man that gets with him, they follow him behind the donkey. Probably not the visual they be looking for. Like, you know, you had them conversations, who you had sex with. You know, some people had them conversations. That's the real big boy conversation. Can you talk about sex partners? And he's like, yeah, you know, I used to have this thing with a sheep. How do you follow that? Can you holler? Can you say, hey, you know what? There's nothing you can say. And he's mad at the state of Florida because he's like, hey, zoophilia should be legal. And I guess if the donkey or the sheep or the dog say it's consensual and they hugging it up, who are we to say no? Nah. I'm just playing. But see, this is what I'm talking about when I say, but this is normal. See, people putting out sex tapes as normal. Police officers with racist stuff and dildos and dogs, mouse, normal. This dude is like, hey, I mean, publicly, like, I should have the right to make it happen with my donkey. Normal. This is why I talk about we got to take back what in the hell is normal. Because if we don't, this is the stuff that people are going to think is normal. I mean, we get so far on the abnormal tip that when people do regular stuff, it's like, like it's boring or something. And I'm saying that it's not boring. It's regular. I mean, I don't think that I lead an unexciting life, but according to some people, I'm boring, I guess. You obviously don't know me, but I'm just saying, you know, when you're not indulged in crazy stuff like this, you kind of out there. I mean, we got a guy out here, Matt Schultz says, and Matt Schultz is a paranormal researcher, ghost talker, whatever the hell you want to call it. He's like, hey, you want to get to know a ghost? Don't ask them about how they died or nothing. Ask what kind of pie do you like? Because supposedly, ghosts like talking about pie. And I ain't talking about pie like the mathematical equation. I'm talking about like cherry, apple, sweet potato pie. Then this is what people talk about, and you wonder why the kids is crazy and everybody talking about the world ending. Because if this is what's going on an everyday basis, this is where it's at. Poverty in the world, trying to make the food supply better, trying to clean up the earth, you know, important stuff. Don't get no run. But ghost loving pie out there, loving it. Sex laws and donkeys, loving it. Police officers Facebooking pictures of themselves with fake dicks in the dog mouth, normal. And celebrities and sex tapes so that they can get more famous and more money, because people will actually watch a reality show with them sitting around watching TV or just going about their day shopping or whatnot. That's normal. That's exciting TV. I'm sorry. I don't quite understand. I cannot compute. Trying to compute probably would hurt my ears and my brain cells, and that I am not trying to do. So me, I'm gonna stick to the normal. If y'all want to be about all that other stuff, I mean, I'm gonna talk about it, but I'm gonna say they are crazy. And y'all need to come back to the regular, normal side where I'm at. We can talk about something. In the meantime, before I get my man Brian on, go on break here. This is my homies, HISD, Houston Independent Spit District, Piano Sunrise. If you're not going to open your eyes, I'm going to get my main man on here to holler at you and make you open your eyes. But I don't think y'all ready. But ready or not, here we come. Can you handle it? Probably can't. But we're going to make you take it anyway. What's going on, man? How you doing? Welcome to Smooth Drama.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm thanking you for coming on, man. I'm blessed to have you on.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, man, and I hope I can give you a good show here tonight.
Well, I'm sure there'll be no problem. Now, I know you created Raven Hammer Comics. Where you came up with that name?
You know what? Oddly enough, I didn't create the name. I'm a writer, and obviously, to do a comic book, I needed to find an artist. So I found a talented gentleman by the name of Christian Colbert online on a search engine called Digital Webbing. You know, a lot of people might be familiar with that. But anyway, he had a story that he had done some artwork for, but didn't. You know, he wasn't too much on the writing side. And he asked me to write it for him based on the images he had created. And the story was called Raven's Hollow. And, you know, I had hired him to draw Lucius Hammer. So, I guess in working on both stories artistically, one day he said, well, why don't we just call our company Raven Hammer because of Raven's Hollow and Lucius Hammer, just mix the titles and came up with a fat little logo, and the rest is history.
Okay. All right. So what comics did you read when you was coming up?
Man, Spider-Man was big in my household. And the main reason Spider-Man was big, other than the fact that he's just one of the coolest superheroes ever created, is the fact that I pointed out to my pops one night, I was like, yo, Dad, every time you buy me a Spider-Man comic book, I see black people in it. Like, you know what I mean? I would see just random brothers walking on the street in Spider-Man. They didn't have nothing to do with the story, but I was like, that's cool. I never saw, like, black people walking on the street in DC Comics. I didn't even know black people existed in the DC universe. You know, but in Marvel's comics were kind of, like, real, you know, and particularly Spider-Man comics. And then, of course, when I finally saw Spider-Man facing Luke Cage in issue 121 of Amazing Spider-Man, that blew the lid off the can for me.
I mean, Sweet Christmas!
Sweet Christmas, baby. that was the pivotal moment. You know, I had a conversation with my father. I was like, yo, who is this? And my pops was like, what do you mean? I said, Dad, there are no black superheroes. And he said, well, apparently there are. Read this book. And I've been on a crusade ever since, man. It hasn't stopped since I was, you know, 8 years old.
Okay, so walk us through the Harlem Shadow. And what Harlem Shadow meant to you and why you wanted to create that character.
Wow, okay. Give you the short story. Harlem Shadow was kind of an afterthought. I had to create a universe or actually a history, a backdrop for Lucius Hammer. And in creating that history, that backdrop, I had to go back to the beginning of black superheroes in my fictional universe. So somebody that could have influenced Lucius Hammer to do what he's doing, which was become a superhero. So it occurred to me that, wow, I don't see black superheroes really showing up until maybe the 60s. What happened to all the caped, you know, costume black adventurers of the 50s, the 40s, the 30s, and even the 20s.
They got killed by J. Edgar Hoover.
or they were illegal. There was some Jim Crow legislation that stopped them. And anyway, I looked at heroes like the Spirit and the Shadow, and I said, well, wow, what better place to have the first official black superhero emerge from other than the Harlem Renaissance? And it was just like peanut butter and jelly at that point. I mean, it was a background character that appears in the first issue of Lucius Hammer, and I took it to a convention. I think it was Chicago Wizard World 2009, and Lucius Hammer debuted to great fanfare, but every time I saw somebody, they were like, yo, when you going to come out with the Harlem Shadow? When you going to drop the Harlem Shadow?
Right.
And so you didn't have to tell me twice. I went on and did it, and it's become its own success story as well. I mean, it's intertwined with Lucius Hammer. It's part of Lucius Hammer's universe of characters, but there are people that swear by the Harlem Shadow and don't read Lucius Hammer, and vice versa.
Well, I mean, not only I'm talking about the Harlem Shadow, I saw Harlem Knights, and, you know, I'm like, hey, don't threaten me with a great time in comics.
Well, you know, once again, doesn't it occur? And here's a weird thing. I'm sure you're pretty much a fanboy like myself, so you've read The Watchmen, right?
Of course.
It's one of my favorite comics, man, but there's one thing that bugs me about The Watchmen and Alan Moore, who is one of my idols. I love Alan Moore, but out of all that material he wrote, he did not see fit to create one black superhero, one black paranormal person in that incredible, huge, historic tome of superheroes, and that inspired me to go ahead and weave my own history. Because, I mean, quite frankly, if we don't do it, and I know this is cliche to say it, but it's true, if we don't do it, it's not going to get done.
Yeah.
So when I say we, I mean black creators.
Well, and I want to add on to that. When you talking about Alan Moore, I think he was being realistic, actually. I mean, because if you look at America at that time, if you were a black costume fighter,
right,
I'm guessing the Watchmen would have came after your ass.
Well, and that's true, and that's why in my series of books, you'll become familiar with a piece of U.S. legislation called the Black Mask Act. And the Black Mask Act is basically Jim Crow for black superheroes. If you have superpowers and you're black in the USA and we catch you, you will be imprisoned or exterminated. And that does not get repealed until Lucius Hammer appears on the scene.
Makes sense to me.
Right.
I mean, and I think that's one of the when we go into your Lucius Hammer. I read your review, and I thought it was funny that people and we had this conversation earlier. People think that a character like Lucius Hammer that could be smart, have exquisite superpowers, with quote unquote no real problems is
I know which one you read. Yeah.
Unrealistic.
Yeah. Okay. So is Tony Stark and Reed Richards. Tell me another one. I mean,
well,
come on, man.
I'm not even gonna talk about Tony Stark and Reed Richards. Mm-hmm. I'm going to Batman. See, for me, Batman is the most unrealistic character ever.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I like Batman the character, but the backdrop that a billionaire is
right.
going to care about the common man.
Right.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That's like Mitt Romney being a vigilante.
Exactly. For the people. Not for his money, because if Mitt Romney had superpowers, the world would be over.
It'd be done.
Right, because we already know he'd be creating something that enslaved the world. Y'all gonna work for me, and that's what it is.
Right, right. Well, and here's the thing about Batman, and Batman is the ultimate fanboy wet dream, and we know this. I mean, they allow Batman to do things that nobody else can do. I mean, even I remember reading Dark Knight. You know, Superman is probably, next to Spider-Man, one of my favorite characters. I don't know why, just because it's one of those images you grow up with, and it's very powerful, and it's like Mickey Mouse. But anyway, in Dark Knight, they have Batman with Superman's ass. And I'm like, well, damn, Batman can just do anything.
Yeah.
And I think Batman is writer's revenge, white writer's revenge against, you know, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, you know, Charles Barkley.
But I would argue with you that it's way before. I mean, Batman been housing the world since before Michael Jordan got cut by his high school team.
My theory is this, it's a bit radical, but
we can deal with that.
Some of my writing in my comic book is kind of considered radical, but it's not. What it is truthful. And the thing is, I believe comic books are the last bastion of the white writer. That's where they have their last. That's where they're going to have their last. Bow for supremacy is in the realm of fiction because they can control it. They can dominate it. They can dole out the images and feed us what they envision. And that's why we have to pose a counterattack. And when I say attack, it does not mean there's anything racist going on between blacks and whites. I mean, hey, it is what it is. You're going to write about what you're interested in. You're going to write about what you know. You're going to hire your own friends to do, you know, what you want them to do, and so on. And I believe right now in comics, you know, it's basically a Caucasian dominated industry, a Caucasian male dominated industry, and that's why we see Caucasian images. We as black creators have got to step forward, produce our own stuff, and it can't be whack. That's the most important thing. And I hope you can get with me on this, because I know you've been to conventions, and you might say it, you might not, but I know you've been to conventions and seen, you know, some dude sitting at the table, yo, man, come buy my book. Okay, what's your book about? You know, this is my character, Nickel Plate. and what is Nickel Plate? What's he all about?
I'm putting it out there. I saw Captain Saberhood and Super Pimp.
See,
and I never forget. I'm looking at this cat like, really?
Yeah.
This is where
it's
at.
And what did he say?
I mean, not only was it a whack book, I mean, but the brother was selling it for like $7.50 for like 10 pages.
Wow.
And it's like Captain Saberhood and Super Pimp.
And there were probably actually people buying it.
I don't know. All I know is I just remember looking like, yeah, I'm not coming by here again.
I'm cool on that. I'm cool on that. There was a kid that stopped by my booth when I was doing the Lucius Hammer booth, and I don't know, it depends on what you think after I tell this story, what kind of person you think I am, but I try to help people, but I don't sugarcoat anything. This kid stopped by, he was a young black man. I'm in my 40s now, and I was 40 at the time, just turned 40.
So you got like 2 more years before you die then, right?
let's hope I get this comic book initiative done before that happens.
All right.
Anyway, this young cat comes up to me. He's about 24 years old. His dream is to do comics. So I said, let me see your comics. First of all, in a notebook. And it's on line paper. And it's colored with crayon. And his father was there. And they both had all green leather shirts and stuff. And the kid said, you know, here's my story. It's the fine kid. And he spelled by his name. E-I-N-T-I.
Hmm.
And so I looked at him and his father, and I said, do you all remember this hill by John Tick? I said, before you find out at this arena, you have to be able to show, you have to be able to speak correctly, you have to be able to tell a story, you have to be able to draw, and if you can't draw, have the presence of mind to go get an artist and invest. So that when you do put a product out here, you don't destroy the rest of the efforts that other black creators.
Hold on. Now, see, I got to step on you because
step on me.
You got to understand that you talking about investing, that's gonna take away from that Jordan money. You gonna tell that kid he can't buy the new Jordans?
Yes, I am.
Because if you want to have
a bionic, you don't need to have no Jordans on.
No, because you talking about artistic and creative integrity and all that other BS. We ain't having none of that.
Correct.
I can have some Jordans that I'm never gonna wear.
That's right.
Except for that one time when I wanted to try to floss and then I'm going to get robbed and shot.
Right. Exactly. And then write about it in a comic book called Captain Save a Hood.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Saving the hood from people who want to steal Jordans.
Saving the hood. Jeez, I'll see.
Yeah. I mean, in perspective, see, as I look at it, there's no perspective. I mean, people will say, we don't have the money for it, but you can buy a LeBron shoe that's $275.
Yeah. You can do plenty of things. You can invest in rims. you can have all the latest types of phones, and apps on your phone and all the stuff that people are selling you that you don't need.
Well, now, hold on, to be fair, the people
right.
who are investing in rims, they probably can't read anyway.
Right.
So
I'm not going to go there.
I'm just saying, and even if they can, it's probably not something that they do on a regular basis. It's like, well, I read like once every 4 or 5 months.
There was an episode of the Boondocks with Samuel L. Jackson and Charlie Murphy, and they were playing these two white characters called the Wanslers. Did you ever see that?
Of course.
And they were talking about brothers and their love of cell phones and special devices on cell phones. And how they were saying brothers prefer cell phones to computers, and that cell phones was dumb Negro technology. You know, when I hear things like that on the Boondocks, I cringe. I do, and I told you this the other day. I cringe because I don't want anybody else to hear it, but I know. Some of what I'm hearing, most of what I'm hearing is true. It's an accurate representation. That's why it's funny to me. But I worry
well,
why it's funny to other people.
Well, I mean, but then I say, you had a panel where you was beating up the Roach Man that conspicuously looked like the Tick.
Yeah.
What you got against the Tick, homie?
I have nothing against the Tick, actually.
Lucius Hampton got something against the Tick?
Nah, man, my artist is my artist that I was collaborating with at the time, Christian Colbert, is actually a Caucasian gentleman, and he actually, at some point, I don't know if he thought I was trying to get him to give up his status as a white American, but he started getting kind of frustrated that our comic book had a lot of black folks in it. And this is not a knock to Christian. I understood what he was saying. He said, hey, man, you know, I don't want to alienate anybody. So he tossed a couple of white villains in there. That was a page that he inserted, and I filled in the dialogue on that page. But, yeah, I have nothing against the Tick. I love the Tick.
because we can be wrapping this up here in a little bit. I have no problem with that. And I look at it like, it's funny how someone could be upset by, I'm going to use a big word here, plethora of black characters in a book, but no one is upset by a plethora of white characters in countless amount of books.
Because their eyes have been closed, or their eyes have absorbed, you know, seeing a multitude of white characters in one book is the norm. That's what you're used to seeing. Just like I said, my head was blown open by those early, I think they were John Romita issues of Spider-Man, where he depicted a New York City that was diverse. You know, I was seeing black and Indian people on the streets, Asian people on the streets in John Romita's depictions of New York City in Spider-Man. And
Him and Junior were great artists.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no question Marvel has had some of the better artists throughout the years. But, you know, you get used to things, and I think, like I said, this is no criticism towards Christian. He just kind of felt like, wow, Brian is very militant and pro-black about this whole thing. He wants to get it done. He's aggressive. And I'm kind of helping him accomplish this. Am I giving in to his political statement here?
I mean, Super Friends, Justice League, Fantastic Four, The Avenger. I mean, anyway.
Let's not start on.
Yeah.
Here, I want to say this on the radio before I get off.
Say it.
Also, Lucius Hammer was a direct response to Brian Michael Bendis having the nerve and audacity. At first, I loved him for it, but then I came to hate him for it, of making Luke Cage, the leader of the Avengers, without a costume, without any type of magical or technological weapon, but he did have a wife beater and jeans on. Okay, now how you can even get an Avengers ID card with just a wife beater and jeans on, I don't know.
Ain't that a rap lyric? If your girl gets hot, throw on my wife beater.
Yeah. And I guess Brian Michael Bendis, that day he wrote that script, was listening to that particular lyric.
Exactly. Because
maybe that was his only interaction with black folks. And that's what he knew to do. And see, sometimes that comes across in writing, you know, in the writing of these popular books. Is like, you know, you want to write a character, a black character, all you know about black people is what you've seen on CSI or NCIS.
Yeah, we like that. That's a conversation for a whole nother year.
Right.
On for that all day. Now, tell the people where they can catch up to Ravenhammer Comics.
Ravenhammer Comics, all right. You can you can catch Ravenhammer Comics. You can buy it on the iPad. You can get it on the Nook and the Kindle. It's on all three platforms. I don't know if everybody, your listeners, are hip to these electronic readers. I don't even have one yet. My daughter has one, and she bought my books on there. So, you know, you just search Lucius Hammer or The Harlem Shadow, and they can be read separately or they can be read together. The, like I said, the stories are intertwined, and you can also check us out on www.ravenhammercomics.com. And do me a favor, if you will, friend us or like us on Facebook. You just search Lucius Hammer on Facebook.
All right. Now, before you go, I got to ask you this last question.
Yes, sir.
It's probably the most serious question I've asked you.
Okay.
The past few days. Now, the Harlem Shadow.
Uh-huh.
Does he do the Harlem Shake?
Come on, player. You know, he does all of that. He actually, he has the paranormal ability to learn any dance within 20 seconds of seeing it or witnessing it. That's the thing. Now, actually, everybody out there, I'm just playing. I'm being facetious. I'm rolling with the
punches. That is nice. What you talked about being facetious, that's nice. He can just check out a dance like, oh, man,
you know.
That's your WAP? Check this out. This is what it is. Anyway.
Right.
Man, thank you for coming on the show.
Hey, thank you very much, and let's stay in contact.
Oh, most definitely. You my new best friend now.
All right, brother. Hey, take care of yourself.
All right, you take care, man.
Later.
Later. All right, y'all. That was Mr. Brian Williams, the co-founder of Ravenhammer Comics. Check out this brother's stuff. It's some deep and funny stuff. Oh, and on that note, I gotta get out of deep and funny stuff and just go back into the hip hop. By popular demand, well, not popular demand, but shout out to my son Clay Creation. This is his request. Wu-Tang Clan, Lace Chiba.
Your kung fu is good. Your magic is good. That is why he waited. So my power would dwindle. My power has diminished. Then he came to kill me.
Yes, but I know your kung fu is still very good. If you practice again, no one could possibly be your match.
Concentration. Your magic is on. That's what it's worth. You
together you got a smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Wu-Tang Clan, Lace Chiba. I don't even want to do the show no more. I danced myself out. Anyway, speaking of dancing myself out, being that I don't want the Harlem Shadow to see my dance and bite my style. Yeah, I said it. Anyway. New Jerseyans, they have a law where now, well, not a law, but they have a policy where they don't want people to smile on their driver's license pictures because it's not able to be recognized by their facial recognition software. You know, that stuff that don't pick up black people anyway. I don't know if you ever saw it or tried to use it. It comes with your laptop. So I was like, oh, facial recognition software, I can use this and it'll identify me, blah, blah, blah. Man, I spent like 2 hours trying to get this thing to recognize me. Nope. Put up a picture of a light skin individual, bam, recognize him. And this is just a picture. It was of my niece, but the point is, my dark skin was not recognized. Facial recognition software, they trying to say. I ain't playing either. I'm serious. I seriously did that. But the fact that they don't want you to smile because smiling messes up facial recognition. So I guess they want everybody to take a mug shot because in New Jersey, they about to put all y'all in jail. Because that's just everybody taking a mug shot there. You can be like the muggy fat governor, Chris Christie, who still to this day, after talking about Jerry Brown, the governor of California, and after Jerry Brown challenged him to a push-up in a marathon contest, he kind of got quiet, was like, damn, dog, why you trying to make me pass out? that's still some of the greatest shit-talking that I've ever seen and heard of. Yeah, you want to talk about me, I'm a retread. Let's do some push-ups. Chris Christie, New Jersey, terrible state. Fired all their policemen, and you can't smile on your DMV. Although, I'm not a proponent of showing too much teeth anyway. Cause, you know, it's not a cool thing to do, I guess. Sort of like these elementary schools in Arizona that has a cool down room that is padded, like a jail cell for crazy folks. And that's where they put your elementary kid. Get your kid ready for the juvenile home, for the crazy house. I mean, if you make the connection, New Jersey don't want you smiling on your driver's license because, hey, it's a mugshot. Take it. This is the picture we're going to put out when we lock you up. Then you have Arizona, the Deer Valley Unified School District, and their cool-down room, 5x6, padded walls, no windows for kids. So they can cool down or get used to the crazy house because this is where we're going to put you. And if you even can get past all that, then Hartford, Connecticut, they made it a point to say that you needed in Hartford Park, you needed a permit to play ultimate frisbee, soccer, flag football, all are off limits. They say because city officials say athletes are tearing up the grass, so they're banning them sports unless you have a permit. So you have to pay to play. And what's sad is you, once again, it's a subliminal thing. Most folks don't look at subliminal stuff. My man Brian just got you talking about subliminal, and you put this stuff out there, and it lives and takes on its own life. You put out there, hey, if you're going to play, you have to pay us because, hey, you're messing up the grass. I'm like, grass grows back, homie. We've been walking on grass forever, and it does not go extinct. In some cases, you can't get rid of grass. I've tried. It keeps growing back. So for them to say, you can't play, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I look at it like you conditioning a whole generation to be fat, out of shape criminals who can't get away, can't fight, don't have the physical or mental capabilities to stand up for themselves. And this is how you do it. Well-meaning policies that support you underachieving in all aspects of your life. Now, some folks don't see it like that. Then I can say there's a Vermont school that takes PE to the farm. You know, that old thing, slavery, working on the farm. That physical education. Now, I'm not saying farming is not a good thing to learn, but not for physical education. Physical education is playing. Kids playing. Not learning how to clean up after pigs. Farm labor. But, hey, maybe I'm wrong. Because that's what you see. Because you can't see how I can see a skew in the perception. But to me, I don't see myself as crazy because I don't see that stuff as normal. And see, once again, your eyes got to be able to perceive normal and normality and not what they want you to see as normal. Now, on that note, I want to thank everybody for listening. Shout out to my man, Brian Williams of Raven Hammer Comics. For Miss 100%, Queen of Little People, who's not here, but we'll be back soon. I'm Mr. F the N Word, and I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.